I'm Wilford Brimley, and I have diabetes. It hurts me to pee, and it hurts even worse to take a dump. Sometimes when I'm jerking off, I forget what I'm doing, then wonder why I'm holding my schmeckle. It usually doesn't get hard. The other day, I stepped in dog turds and started beating the shit out of my wife. Then I find out I don't have a dog, and my wife's been dead for over a decade.
What the hell did I step in, and who the fuck did I beat?
Hey, Jesus Christ, Skinner. You think maybe I might have diabetes?
I don't know. Does it hurt when you take a dump?
Sometimes.
Well, then, maybe you do.
Whatever, Scotty. Let's just go to 7-Eleven and get some food, okay?
Well, that sounds real good, TJ. I'm gonna get me some Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
To be continued.
Dude.
Wow.
I would never drink Mountain Dew.
Some yeah, game fuel, dude.
Scotty needs his game fuel.
Scotty the gamer.
Dude, there's no fucking way. Whoever made this, that is...
Scotty the gamer.
That is one detail that is wrong. As I challenge anywhere, have you ever seen me drink a Mountain Dew?
Yeah, it seems like they've written Paul out of the show, too.
Dude, Paul? Well, I mean, rightfully so.
I'm fine with that. It was not a very flattering representation of me, so the less I see of it, the more my self-esteem goes, weep.
Yeah, he keeps making these. I'm not sure.
Hey, that's cool.
I'm not sure if I'm just going to keep using his intros or if anyone else will get a chance.
If a better one comes along,
you know,
dude.
What? If you want to supplant and usurp the South Park intro guy, you know, you got to fucking put something out there, guys. Turn something in that blows me away.
You got to be a competitor.
And pushes him off that top spot. You know
you
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Compete.
He'll right have now, my vote when he starts putting Paul's ego back in the fucking intros.
Yeah, Paul's ego better be in the to be continued. Paul better be the clerk.
I better be the clerk
7-11.
At the 7-Eleven, yeah.
Or something.
Some shit.
I
better be there looking at a porn in the, at the magazine rack or something.
Paul, you won't be able to get a fucking porn magazine, dude. You'll be fucking stuffing your face filled with carbs, dude.
Which, Twinkies.
Which you've denied yourself on this diet. God.
Twinkies.
So beautiful and delicious.
So, we got some stuff, I mean, pretty much shilling the same shit as we usually shill here on the show.
The fucking shill cast.
The shill cast.
With the three shills. The three shills.
His shillites. The Deep Fat Fried Meetup in Los Angeles happening July 21st, 2018. Don't have to wait till 2019. That's convenient. The doors open at 7 for the VIPs. They open at 8 for everybody else.
VIPs will be getting, we actually have discussed it, and now you guys are going to get something a little special.
Yeah, a little swag. A little something that nobody else gets.
You get a hand job from Scotty,
uh-huh.
Or a blow job from me.
Well,
or
everybody else gets
you can
that.
Straight up ass fuck Paul.
Wait a minute, we didn't discuss that.
I mean, you know, we did Paul.
It's in your employment contract.
Is it?
Section 14, subparagraph 3.
Little letter B. We are doing the meetup in Los Angeles. There are still tickets available. The VIP tickets are pretty close to sold out. So if you want to be a VIP for once in your miserable, pathetic existence, now's the time. But now if you don't have the money time. Or the resources, general admission tickets, pretty much just as good, almost just as good. Selling that shit, $25. Hang out with us from 8 o'clock p.m. until 1:45 a.m. We will be there all night long, drinking, dancing, fucking doing whatever. Doesn't matter. It's gonna be crazy. Take pictures, get
doing
shit
whatever,
signed.
Dude. I'm gonna be doing a lot of whatever, man.
I'm gonna be doing so much whatever. It's gonna blow your fucking mind, bitch. I will just say we did a lot of meetups as DP, and they were all great and they were all fun, but the amount of more effort going into this meetup is crazy. So if you enjoyed any of the DP meetups, this meetup is going to blow your fucking mind. Yep. Oh, yeah.
It'll blow your ovaries right out of your fucking abdominal cavity.
Even if you're a man, you will develop ovaries.
And then they'll blow out of your fucking abdominal wall.
It's going to be fucking
cool.
Epic.
I wanted to burst out of my chest like a fucking alien.
Yeah. Ovaries burst out of your chest and just kind of scamper away. It's going to be great. Anyway, we also, of course, have to shill the Patreon.
She's like, well, I don't know. I'm
saying it because it was next in my little lineup here, but I don't fucking see it.
So. Oh, you don't see it, huh?
Whatever. You know where our Patreon
You're
is.
You're fucking incompetent, TJ.
I guess so.
You're fucking incompetent. You fuck everything up.
Ah.
Link down in the description for the Patreon. Join the feast.
Join the feast.
We're at 3,175 patrons.
The chef's table
currently.
Has been added, if you guys don't know.
Yep, that's true. The chef's table is an optional $10 one. You get the whole feast plus some behind-the-scenes stuff.
And I'll tell you guys what, too.
Starting next month.
Oh, yeah. And we are going to have an announcement about the date and time of the 24-hour show very soon.
That is true.
Well, yeah, let the patrons know first.
And we actually did a meeting and a planning session for the 24-hour show and got some of it fleshed out. So,
we're going to be giving you guys a breakdown of the show. We're going to give you a few little insights into the kind of stuff you might see in it. That's going to be coming up shortly. But enough of this horse shit. It's time for the fucking news.
The news.
And of course, we have to start with
Trump. Roseanne has officially been killed out of the news cycle, and Trump has taken his spot at the top.
His rightful place.
He's taken his rightful place at the top of the shit heap of America.
Trump threatens to end all trade with allies.
Yay!
Yes! This is the president we need!
Yeah, man. He's going to make the best deals. He's going to make the best deals, guys. Leaving the G7 summit on Saturday, President Trump said the U.S. might end all trade with America's closest allies if those countries don't submit to his demands over reduced trade barriers. Trump also confirmed that he told the leaders of Britain, France, Germany, Japan, Canada, and Italy that there should be no tariffs between them and the U.S. of any kind. Whether Trump's characteristically hyperbolic threat or overarching proposal will be taken seriously is another matter. I don't think anything that this fucking buffoon says should be taken the least bit seriously by anyone ever.
But I mean, so far he has the tariffs on steel. I mean, the price of steel in the U.S. have gone up 25%. What was it, washing machines or some shit? So I mean, you could say you don't take him seriously, but he has the power under U.S. law to do this.
I don't care how much power. I don't care if he's fucking God. I still don't take him seriously. Referring to what he called...
ungrateful, liberal piece of shit, TJ.
I know, right?
He just made peace on the Korean Peninsula.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that
peace!
In a moment. We'll talk about that in a moment.
These tariffs are a joke anyways. They're totally ineffectual.
Why?
Why?
Okay, why, so, Scotty?
Oh, wait, all right, TJ. So let's say you want to import something from Scotty Land.
Okay.
And you're going to say, you know what, Scotty Land? I'm going to slap a fucking tariff on this product you want to export here. And I go, huh. So you're going to do that? Well, guess what? The fucking shit that your fucking your country's going to export, I'm going to say, you know what, TJ? You know what you export, TJ? Bullshit. Well, guess what? When your bullshit comes here, I'm going to put a 25% tariff on that.
Yeah, so basically...
Do you see why it doesn't fucking work, ultimately?
Yeah, because it just becomes tit for tat, and it all...
That's all the European Union's going to do. It's all Canada's. That's all Mexico's. They're all going to do the same
shit. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they do it?
Exactly!
You know, I mean, like, anyone would do it in their position. Oh, you're going to put a tariff on our shit? We're putting a tariff
on
your shit.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying it's just a zero sum game. It's just who's just gonna fuck. It's like how many tariffs are we gonna have? We're gonna have to put tariffs
on everything.
Well,
I'm putting in a billion D fucking 1,000% tariff on your stuff. Well, I'm putting an infinity tariff on your stuff.
I mean, the only idea is that you're gonna hurt the industry in that country so much that they're gonna basically either gonna take the tariff away or they're gonna say, well, we'll do whatever you want as a concession. I mean, I guess that's what Trump's
counting
on.
I mean, it's a trade war. That's that's what it is with our allies. So Trump taking this posture of total antagonism against our allies, but it's okay because we've made a new ally.
That's
a better
true.
Ally.
The
we've
right
made an
ally
of yes! Kim Jong-un.
Yes, dude, finally.
I knew this meeting was going to happen, obviously. We all knew it. We all were all anticipating. I didn't think it was going to be such a fucking love fest between these two fat, despotic pieces of shit.
You got to understand, though, like, this is how it works out with Trump. Like, when Trump connects with somebody, it becomes that. And, like, he obviously connected with Kim. He sees a little bit of Trump in Kim, just like he saw a little bit of Trump in Emmanuel Macron and... had his arm around his fucking waist and shit and holding hands with him and leading him around the fucking White House. You know, it's cute the way
that
Trump latches onto these people. Yeah, you know, and he did the same thing with this guy. But it should be worrying to people that Trump is spending the time being very, very diplomatic and sitting across the table in a very respectful way with a dude that's running concentration camps. But our closest neighbors, he's telling them that he's going to fucking suspend all trade with them and punish them for the things they've said and shit. So he's making hay with all the people that are helping us and sitting down and having a nice meal with a dude that is literally running concentration camps in his country. You
know, that's really interesting, Paul. Tell that to the fucking people of Ohio, Paul, and the Midwest who've lost hundreds of thousands of jobs. But, Paul, you're not really sympathetic to that. As Trump defends this our strong economy. Look, Paul, unemployment, 3.8%. Economic expansion is going to hit 3%, Paul, of GDP.
Numbers artificially inflated by
you're telling me, Paul.
Propped up fucking economic system that's about to collapse at any fucking second.
So now Paul's strategy is the truth doesn't matter. All the numbers are made up. It's all a lie.
Yeah, pretty much. When it comes to fucking Wall Street.
Paul, then how do you even know what you hear is real information than if you question all the information like that?
I don't. Maybe it's a deep fake.
I supported President Trump's decision to meet with Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea. From my own experience in negotiating with the North Koreans, I know that their leaders believe only they can make consequential decisions.
And this guy is a total failure, by the way.
This makes sense since North Korea lacks a free press, an effective legislature, or any sense of we the people. Although the United States is a democracy, President Trump has said he feels that only he makes decisions for our country.
Republic.
I thought then that perhaps these two leaders might develop a framework that would authorize negotiating teams to move forward with a plan to dismantle North Korea's nuclear weapons program and ballistic missiles in a complete, verifiable, irreversible way. Instead, the Singapore summit wasn't much more than bluster and balloons. It was a celebratory summit where Kim publicly received the respect and recognition he and his predecessors have long sought, and Trump didn't get much more than a vague promise. Optics were arranged to portray Kim as the equal of a U.S. president. Flags of both countries were hung side by side. Photo ops were arranged, and the leaders signed an official statement that was far weaker than at least three previous documents signed by North Korea in past years. Unlike the agreements negotiated in 1992, 1994, and 2005, Tuesday's joint statement includes no verification requirements or framework to guide negotiations.
So basically, this was a damaging thing because for a long time, the Kim regime has wanted to be legitimized internationally and have this kind of thing happen. They have in the past signed these promises and broken all of them. They gave a much weaker, and all they had to do to get that recognition that they've wanted since Kim Il-sung was to butter up our stupid fucking orange buffoon of a president.
Well, look, another thing is there's no reason to believe that North Korea is going to give up its nuclear weapons program when it's that nuclear weapons program that got them this respect. In the first place, because remember when they were back when North Korea's nuke program was a joke and everyone was laughing at all their failed missiles, no one was fucking treating Kim Jong-un or his predecessors like this.
Sounds like a lot of saber rattling to me, TJ.
Sounds
like a lot of saber rattling.
What I'm
to
saying
me.
Is that
so,
North
TJ,
Korea's saber rattling is what brought them to this point. So why would they give that up? The whole reason they got
TJ,
this
there's
respect,
been a lot of antagonism.
The whole reason
between
they got
all
to
these
meet
countries.
With the leader of the quote unquote free world like this on equal terms and equal standing
so, TJ,
is because of his nuclear weapons
so,
program.
So TJ, we should never try to negotiate with these countries. So the answer is war then, TJ.
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, look.
Oh, so we shouldn't meet with them though because it's to their advantage.
I'm not saying we shouldn't.
So what
meet
should
with
we
them.
Do then?
The meeting should have been done privately. It should not have been a big international spectacle because
this is what the North Koreans wanted, and we have to respect.
No, we don't.
We have to respect.
They have to respect that our authority.
Well, you know what, Paul? These people have weapons of mass destruction.
I'm saying
we have to deal with. We have to try to be the rational party.
What I'm
saying
they
want this
is
little photo
this
op,
shouldn't have been something.
If it
that,
leads to greater peace, is it really a price? A high price to pay? A photo op? Is it really?
I think this legitimizes a fucking dictator.
Not only that, but well, I think that if is a big if. Like
legitimizes? Has anyone overthrown the regime? Are they still going to be in power? This meeting happened or not?
We're talking about
legitimizing
them on the
global.
Scale.
They're obviously considered legitimate. Otherwise, if they weren't, the country just would have been conquered already. I mean, look, North Korea could be taken over by now. You don't think Russia or China or the U.S. could take over North Korea?
Well,
I mean,
there's plenty of countries that doesn't happen is because of China.
So they're considered. So it's considered, even if it is a despotic, terrible government, it's considered a legitimate government.
Sure.
I mean, it's not treated like a legitimate government.
Well, I mean, it's isolated in the world because of its policies.
Right.
But it is the legitimate government of the country.
Well, yeah.
I mean, no one's denying that. What we're saying is it legitimizes it in the international on the international stage.
When you take a country like America that is, quote-unquote, the leader of the free world, and you put them on a stage with Kim Jong-un and his concentration camps and starving populace and isolation because of his international fucking bellicose nature.
And you have Trump saying,
and you put him on the fucking stage.
Like, you know,
standing
like, you
in the middle with his flag and our flag behind him.
How can we ever achieve peace?
It makes him look like what he's doing is okay and deserving of respect from the international community, and it establishes a precedent.
Well, but I'm saying, what is the alternative? It's like, so you're saying, so what if they say, no, we won't have a meeting unless this is the meeting?
To me, the alternative is you can meet with the guy and you should meet with him.
Yeah.
And you should discuss these things, but
why not?
You don't have to be effusive with praise of the motherfucker. You don't have to. I mean, Trump's come out.
Trump is just trying to butter him up, TJ. Trump is a master of negotiation.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
Trump is a retard.
Trump is a moron, and you know it.
Oh, my God. Far greater than you guys give him credit for. Oh, okay. So he's such a moron, TJ. He's elected president of the United States. How stupid can he really be? I mean, this guy is a highly manipulative, charismatic individual.
Hey, look, I will say that when it comes to...
And look, our failed president before this, Obama, wasn't even close, dude. He wasn't even close to this summit.
I wouldn't say that fucking Trump is manipulative. I would say he's manipulatable. I'd say he's the most malleable president we've ever fucking had.
That's what he wants you to
think. He sits down with fucking China for 30 minutes, and all of a sudden, one of his giant campaign promises is reversed.
He was given new evidence.
Oh, yeah. Now I understand.
He was given new evidence.
All right, I have another article about this from BuzzFeed, of all places. Trump said there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea, with absolutely no evidence.
Oh, Trump has better evidence than the BuzzFeed. I mean, give me a break here.
President Donald Trump said Wednesday morning there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea, prompting outrage from experts who point to a lack of evidence. A day after meeting with Kim Jong-un at a historic summit in Singapore, the president tweeted that everybody can now feel much safer than the day I took office.
I definitely do.
He added that his predecessor, Barack Obama, had viewed North Korea as America's most dangerous problem, but that is no longer the case. Trump later accused the media of downplaying his deal with North Korea and called fake news our country's biggest enemy.
It is.
He said that the media have begged for this deal 500 days ago, whatever. Trump and Kim signed a document agreeing to establish new relations for peace and prosperity between the U.S. and North Korea on Tuesday. As part of the agreement, North Korea committed to work toward complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Work towards it. Yeah, we're going to work
towards it.
A pledge Kim already made at an earlier summit with South Korea. Trump told reporters in a brief exchange after the signing that the process of denuclearization would start very, very quickly. On Wednesday, Trump tweeted he believes North Korea is negotiating in good faith. His claim suggests an end to more than 70 years of hostilities between the two countries over nuclear weapons. North Korea has carried out 6 nuclear tests since its first in 2006, 5 years before Kim succeeded his father as leader, culminating in what is understood to be its largest ever in September.
So let me ask you a question, TJ.
Yes.
I think so. Let's say with all the rhetoric you've launched into today, unfairly against Trump, in my opinion.
Well, hold on. Let me fucking.
No, but I want to bring this point to you.
All right, but hold on. Let me just read some of these experts here.
Okay, read these so-called experts.
Abraham Denmark, director of the Asia Program and Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars Research Institute.
Doesn't sound very authoritative to me.
Okay. Let's be clear. North Korea represents the same threat today as it did before the summit. North Korea retains its nuclear weapons and the ability to possibly strike the United States and definitely our allies. We still have a very long way to go. This is... who's this? Steve Inskeep? I don't know who he is. On the president's claim that there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea, Ambassador Rice, Susan Rice, I guess, says the threat is real and present and unabated. And Trump's preposterous claim suggests he's not in a position to lead a very serious long-term negotiation. Richard Haass?
So the so-called expert.
President of the Council of Foreign Relations.
This person's an expert.
Patently false.
This person's the person previously was supposed to be an expert, but then they make a statement. Go back to that. Go back.
Which one? This one?
A very serious. So He's not in a position to lead a very serious long negotiation. This is the man that wrote the book on negotiation.
This is Susan Wright. He ghostwrote the book on negotiation.
That's Susan Wright saying that.
He made a lot of money. Paul, he made a lot of money, unlike something you've ever done in your life, dude.
he ghostwrote the book on negotiation. That's not true, Paul.
I don't think that's true. But even if it was true, then Paul picked the best ghostwriter if he did.
I guess he did.
I mean, look, North Korea, look, whether you agree with these experts or you like
them
or not.
This is what begs the question. This is what I think really the crux of this is. What if this happens?
Right.
As you guys say, this is a total blunder, it's a total disaster. What if this actually leads?
I'm not saying it's a disaster.
What if, no, I'm saying, what if it leads to the fucking, what people are fucking hoping for?
I mean, what if I, end what of if hostilities. I, what if the next time I take a dump, I shit out a big pot of gold?
Yeah, but... Well, what if this leads to that, Paul? Scotty, what will you guys say then? What will you say then, Paul? Would you be the first one to admit you were wrong then, Paul?
Sure.
If there's peace in North Korea.
Sure. If the North Korea regime peacefully goes away. If he disbands his labor camps and, you know, look, the Korean Peninsula is unified again, I'll eat my words. There you go.
Look, if this leads to
a better
North Korea, no one can fucking hold that against Trump. But what I'm saying is...
Well, he doesn't deserve all the credit then, TJ?
First of all, you're legitimizing a piece of shit.
No, he's not, TJ.
Second of all, I mean, this is like if I come to you, like you're fucking brewing meth in your garage or something.
It's not.
And I'm like, hey,
this is a lie.
And we have a fucking sit down after some tense weeks and months and years. And you're like, yeah, I'll look into maybe getting rid of my meth lab. And then me being like, he's going to get rid of his meth lab. I'm the greatest.
I don't see the connection there at all. I don't really see your story.
Trump is overstating what he's done.
No, I don't think so.
His supporters are vastly overstating.
Oh my God, yeah.
They're acting like he just fucking conquered.
They're acting like he just fucking ushered in world peace. Yeah,
I say this, guys. Let's let history be the judge of these events.
I'm fine with that.
Let's let history.
I mean, look, we're going to see where it goes, and maybe this is going to lead to a good place. And, you know, if it does, Trump deserves credit, but. You know, right now, he's getting a little more than he deserves.
Right now, he's got a statement that we've heard a bunch of times from North Korea that they haven't followed.
We change! We good now!
And with the added bonus of now Kim Jong-un is on the national stage as a legitimate fucking leader. Great.
Woman who stole baby 20 years ago is sentenced. Florida, by the way.
Cool.
The latest on sentencing of woman... Wait, the latest on sentencing of woman?
Sentencing of woman!
The latest on sentencing of woman!
Obviously an algorithm wrote this fucking article.
Is that English?
Who kidnapped baby!
No, do they...
The latest on sentencing of woman who kidnapped baby!
A lot of these articles now are written by just software.
In 1998, from a Florida hospital, a woman who stole a newborn from a Florida hospital 2 decades ago and raised the child as her own has been sentenced to 18 years for kidnapping... She will also serve 5 years concurrently on a charge of federal custody interference. Gloria Williams was sentenced Friday for the kidnapping of Kamaya Mobley in July of 1998 from a hospital in Jacksonville. The 52-year-old Williams testified at her trial that she wore scrubs to look like a nurse and put the infant in a bag and secreted her out of the hospital.
Secreted is a strange word. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I guess it'd be pronounced secreted, but
no, I like it better secreted.
I mean, that's also how you spell secreted, right?
Secreted her.
Williams raised Mobley, who grew up as Alexis Manigo in South Carolina until her arrest in 2017. She didn't tell the girl of her true identity until the girl discovered she couldn't get a driver's license because she didn't have a valid birth certificate or social security card. So, I mean, like, you're basically raised to think this woman is your mother, but actually she's some crazy bitch who stole you from a fucking maternity ward.
Dude, what the fuck, dude? That would fuck with your mind.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I mean, just imagine sitting up at night like, the person I knew was my mom was just some crazy bitch that stole me, and I could have had, like, a way different life with my actual family.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it'd be hard to come back from that, man.
I mean, like, yeah, how do you?
That's like if Paul finds out, like, Paul, your mom's not actually your mom, dude.
Yeah.
She stole you.
Yeah, she just fucking kidnapped you from a
dude,
from some other family.
I'll tell you what, there ain't no way that's true.
Well, I'm saying, though, if it is, I made out okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're
you know what I mean? Maybe this chick did, too.
Yeah.
I wonder how she feels. I wonder if she's like, well, fuck that. I don't care. That's my mom.
Let's see. A judge in Florida, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't say anything about Williams raised Mobley, who grew up as Alexis Manigo in South Carolina. Didn't tell her. Yeah, okay. It's just a repeat of the same shit. Okay. So, no, it doesn't talk about her personal feelings about it, but you got to assume she's probably a little bit confused and conflicted.
I think naturally you'd be confused, yeah.
Yep. Christianity is not on trial. Baby custody case pits BC zealots against state. This shit's fucking crazy. A couple spoke in tongues in court to a stuffed lion who they claimed was giving them direct counsel from God.
Okay, so in a rational, insane society, what you would do at this point is you would lead them to a mental hospital.
They rejected legal aid, preferred to advise witnesses. It was their lawyer, Jesus Christ, asking the questions through the voice of the parent.
Okay.
The battle was for the custody of their baby, who the mother wants to rename Jesus Joy of the Lord.
Oh, man. Yeah. Take this kid quick.
Yeah.
They lost.
Good.
Now, in a decision highlighting the tightrope social workers walk in balancing parental beliefs with child safety, a BC Supreme Court judge has dismissed the Kelowna couple's claim of religious persecution. This is a difficult case, wrote Justice Diane McDonald.
Parents
obviously love their child and wish to raise her in their home with their Christian values.
I mean, is talking to a stuffed lion even a Christian value?
No, that's an insane person value. I don't know. I don't really care about the case. I just think it's funny that these people brought this fucking
to the fucking court. Well, no, because imagine these people believe anything else besides Christianity or a mainstream religion, and they said they're going to talk to a lion. People would go, they need mental help immediately. But because it's Christianity, it's like, well, they lost, and we all think they're weird. But, I mean, it's difficult because you really feel for them. It's like, no, I don't. They're insane. They do need mental help. They're mentally ill.
All right, the court will hear the defense's opening statement. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I present to you Mr. Fluffernutter. That's right, Mr. Fluffernutter. We didn't do anything wrong, and we deserve to raise our child. Listen to Mr. Fluffernutter the lion.
The voice of Jesus Christ.
What the fuck?
That's God speaking through them.
They thought this was going to win them their case. I think that alone proves that they're unfit to raise this child. The fact that they thought that a jury was going to look at them talking to a fucking stuffed lion and give them their child back.
Well, I think it's before a judge.
Well, whoever it is.
It's a custody thing. Like, I think that's usually just decided by a judge.
Yeah, whoever they were trying to convince, if they thought that person was going to be convinced by babbling at a stuffed lion, they were wrong.
Yep.
Shocking.
So, yeah. Just mockery of the court, whatever. Ireland to vote on removing blasphemy as an offense.
Good. Hey, good job, Ireland.
Ireland dragging its feet into the 19th century.
Yes.
Should blasphemy be illegal?
I don't know.
Ireland will hold a referendum in October to remove the offense of blasphemy from its constitution. Charlie Flanagan, the justice and equality
That's
minister.
What you would expect the guy to be named.
Charlie Flanagan. Charlie
Next,
Flanagan.
They'll be wanting us to give women the vote.
The Irish government has approved the preparation of a bill to remove blasphemy as part of a commitment to constitutional reforms. The referendum will probably be held on the same day as the presidential election. Government ministers see last month's abortion referendum as a milestone on a path to change for a country that was once Europe's most socially conservative a few decades ago and are keen to push forward with another constitutional reform. Yeah, obviously blasphemy shouldn't be a fucking crime.
Pretty soon they'll be wanting us to not kick up half of our income to our feudal lords. What's next? What's next?
So, yeah, congratulations, Ireland, for being less dumb shits than you have been in the past.
You got a long ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting there.
This is a good
move. I mean, Ireland is
slowly but surely, you're getting there.
You know, next thing I want to hear is Ireland voting to legalize marijuana, dude. That's what I want to hear next.
Yeah, well, hope you're alive in 2246 when everywhere else in the world is just covered in weed.
Ireland's like, I don't know.
I'm not sure about this weed. Maybe another 100 years or so. We'll bring it up at the ballot box again.
Fucking Ireland, dude.
What a strange fucking country, dude.
Blasphemy's fucking illegal. Get out of here, Ireland.
And they're only voting.
Pass this shit quickly.
Oh,
what an embarrassment.
Suicide rates are up 30% since 1999, CDC
says. The victory of nihilism, dude.
Only half of people who died by suicide had diagnosed mental health conditions.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be.
I mean, diagnosed. Most mental health conditions go undiagnosed.
Nevada had a decrease, dude. Maybe it's where people need to live. That's a
haven. Everyone just needs. Everyone moved to Nevada. That's the place. This is places where it increased marginally. They have these lines like this. California, you know, Arizona, New Mexico. Slight increases, you know. 19 to 30% increases. These states like Louisiana, Texas, Washington, Oregon.
The interesting thing really
a lot of
is
southern states and a lot, Midwest states.
Yeah. I mean, but well, even
the
coastal
worst
states.
Increases are these ones with the grid here, like Oklahoma, Kansas. Utah. I mean, like if I lived in these states, I'd be committing suicide too.
Dude, it's Nebraska, like that's a fucking flyover state. Kansas, that's a fucking flyover state. If there ever,
I mean, of
one.
Course, people in Wyoming are committing suicide. They live in fucking Wyoming. You know?
What else is there to do? Like, yep, guess I'll shoot myself in the head then.
Yeah.
Done did everything else there to do around here. Chased around a cricket for 22 hours straight.
Suicide
yesterday.
Rates are up by 30% across the nation since 1999. Federal health officials report Thursday. Only about half of the people who died by suicide had a known mental health condition, even though depression had been... thought to be a major cause of suicide, the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention said. While many cases of mental illness may have been diagnosed, the CDC also noted that relationship stress, financial troubles, and substance abuse were contributing to the trends. Suicide rates in the United States have risen nearly 30% since 1999, and mental health conditions are one of several factors contributing to suicide, the CDC research wrote in their reports. From 1999 to 2015, suicide rates increased among both sexes, all racial and ethnic groups, and all urbanization levels. The suicide... Okay, I don't care about these... Like... With the suicide rate increasing this dramatically, who gives a shit about Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain killing themselves?
You wonder why...
They're just two people.
Well, you know what the thing is actually, they've studied this, and they found that there's a spike in suicides when famous people kill themselves.
Yeah, after Robin Williams killed himself, a lot of people... I think he... what did he do? He...
hung himself.
Yeah, hung himself.
He hanged himself, and there was an increase in people hanging themselves afterwards. Like, people are like, ooh, I'm going to do like Robin, you know?
Well, also, they feel probably a sense of validation. Like, even this guy, even Robin Williams, couldn't handle this shit.
Fuck, even Robin Williams, fuck, he was...
If he's opting out, so am I.
It's like, fuck, dude.
So, thanks, news media, for rabidly and constantly covering these celebrity suicides.
I don't know. I think it's kind of like... It kind of, to me, ties into, the, like, you know, oh, if there's violence now, there's got to be the violent video games and all this stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know.
You think it's the violent video games doing it, TJ?
No, I'm saying that I don't think that. I don't, I mean, like, look, you know, people might, it might push a few people over the edge, but no one's just, like, goes from, like, healthy, well-adjusted individual to, oh, Robin Williams killed himself, well, I'm going to do it too, you know.
Yeah, you don't think that that these numbers increasing like this has anything to do with this, like, increasing sense of, like, smile through the pain that happens in America?
Oh, yeah, but that's totally different than... You know, the
like,
celebrity thing.
You're told by everybody that everything's getting better, but in your life, everything is getting worse.
I feel like there's a major philosophical component to this that's not being addressed. And I'm not saying
which is
that
what?
All these. I just, I mean, like, people feel more hopeless. I mean, we see that a lot of the old institutions that people used to invest their trust in are no longer trusted. The you know, trust in the media is down, trust in the government's down, trust in the corporations are down.
I mean,
down.
Don't you think
people feel
when it comes to those last
by,
three that you mentioned, don't you think that has to do with how they're treating the people?
Sure.
So, yeah.
But I just think there's an increasing sense of nihilism in America, and it seems like the remedy that's being presented for this nihilism is just smile through it, fake
stupid.
It till you make it.
Dude, it's
plaster on a fake smile and just, yeah, everything's fine.
It's like
it's
this,
not fine.
It's a strange obsession with life for the sake of life. You know, it's like, it'll get better, so just keep hold on. You need to live. You need to live. It's going to get better. It's like, but like Paul said, it's like, well, if the underlying causes aren't addressed, then how is it going to get better?
I mean, part of the problem is that what we're shoveled, not only by medical professionals, but by like the media, these things that people don't trust anymore. It's a bunch of hogwash.
It is.
Like, it's a bunch of bullshit that's meant to be like a Band-Aid on this really seeping open wound that people are feeling like, man, I don't have a purpose anymore in this fucking society.
Right.
I'm just a piece of shit that goes into a fucking job that doesn't mean shit every day. I clock in for 8 to 12 hours every goddamn day. I come home to the family that's falling apart because we never see each other. You know what I mean? Like, and we're getting shoveled all this entertainment and news stories and all these self-help little blobs of bullshit out of the medical community.
Well, it's all just propaganda, dude.
And it's all nonsense. And you know, the underlying problem is our economic system has created this kind of negative feedback loop in everybody's lives where they hate what they do for a living. They hate waking up in the goddamn morning. And we're wondering why these numbers are going up.
Yeah, and you know...
Well, also this country...
When I said that life sucks... I mean, like, I, when Anthony Bourdain killed himself, I'm like, look, maybe the reason for all these fucking big suicides is that life kind of fucking sucks, and people just need to acknowledge that there's problems in life. And a bunch of people, immediately try to put the optimism band-aid on. No, it doesn't. Maybe it sucks for you, you depressed faggot, but my life is great. It's like, no, it's not.
But why not address the issues?
You're just deluding yourself.
But why not address
life
the issues?
Life on this planet's not great. Sorry, Scotty, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. No, what I'm saying, but why not address the underlying issues in our society? Like, people in America work some of the longest hours. They don't have a lot of benefits a lot of other countries have. Like,
take less vacation than anybody in the world.
Yeah,
in the developed world.
We don't get, there's no mandatory paid vacation for Americans. That's just like, if your employer wants to give it to you, they can. There's no fucking parental leave. You know, that's guaranteed by law. There's all these things that would raise people's quality of life. Demonstrably, like, you know, like healthcare worries. That's another thing in our country. Like, people get sick. Oh, I mean, so the people in this country are so stressed. And you know, we're just being taken advantage of totally and completely. And other countries, it's like, oh, people are a lot more relaxed. They live a lot longer lives because they're not living under this fucking stress of, oh, shit, if I get an illness, I'm going to be bankrupt. I'm not going to have anything. I'm not going to have health care. I'm not going to have any of this shit.
I mean, I think one of the things that used to put a Band-Aid on this was home ownership. But even now, that's poisoned because of the constant crashes and the instability of the housing market. People are rightfully wary of getting into that now. It's not even an investment that you can trust anymore to buy a house, so people aren't doing it anymore. And it's leading to, like, you know, this lack of roots, this lack of purpose, this lack of, you know, when your life is nothing but this gray fog of shit work, mindless shit work and family problems, it's no wonder, you know?
Yeah.
This system that we've created is not good at creating fulfillment in people.
And we're, I don't know if these statistics reflect the current level of suicide, but according to this ranking list I'm looking at, United States is 48th in the world in terms of suicides out of, I don't even, like, 183 countries, I think, on this list. We're pretty bad.
Not great. I mean, it certainly could be worse.
There's certainly countries that are worse. Number one, in case you're curious, is Sri Lanka.
Sure. And I'd be willing to bet that the work life of those people in that country
are miserable.
Guyana, Mongolia, Kazakhstan, you know, a lot of shit countries.
Economically depressed. Horrible.
Well,
places.
I've always thought this. I mean, especially
very few.
Canada's number 87. I mean. United Kingdom's 123.
Yeah, because a lot of other countries.
Italy's 143.
Have a way better work-life balance than the U.S. And it's like Paul said, it's like this fog of just like people just are expected to work nonstop and never supposed to have any breaks, never supposed to take a vacation, and it's like, and you just if you don't play along by these rules, like, well, you just lose your job then. You really have no fucking recourse. You're stuck in the. I mean, you have to pay bills. You have to support your family.
They're just
going to
hire somebody who's willing to work 365 days a year.
Yeah, and never have any sort of fucking.
Never have any. Life. They need the money a little more than you do. So fuck off. Go find somewhere else to work. It doesn't work. You know, and there's nobody stepping up to protect workers from this, and so this is just going to get worse.
You know, it's interesting. a lot of the countries that are sort of in the middle are European counterparts, like, you know, Denmark and Germany and Chile, not Chile, but Denmark and Germany.
Sure.
Norway is kind of around the hundreds. But if you go to the lowest suicide rates, it's interesting. There's a lot of like Pakistan, Jamaica, you know, countries where you think maybe the suicide rates would be a little higher. United Arab Emirates, really fucking low on the list. I don't know how great their statistics are there, though. So,
well, I mean, I would probably question that, not only that. I mean, the fact, and some of them, I mean, that's a very small country as well,
right? You know, so the sample size,
and you don't know, and you know, they might not ever. That might be a country where they never report as a suicide. Like, you know, someone
right,
obviously
like
killed.
Japan has a really low murder rate because a lot of the murders that happen there are not reported as murders. It's like, oh, it was a crazy accident. He fell on a knife 15 times. Oops, you know. Anyway. Kind of an interesting topic. We could probably talk about it at length, but there's a lot more to get to. So, transgender track athlete wins CT state championship. Debate ensues. Terry Miller and Andrea Yearwood dominated the competition at Connecticut's Girls Track and Field State Championships earlier this week. Miller took first place in both the 100 and 200 meter dash, while Yearwood finished second in the 100 meter dash. According to News 8 in Hartford, Connecticut, both Miller and Yearwood are transgender, which has some people saying the pair had an unfair advantage.
They did.
Yes, I mean, they do.
They absolutely do.
I mean, this has happened over and over again.
This is a really thorny, difficult sort of issue to address.
It is. I mean, it seems pretty common sense. When you're talking about athletics, men have a distinct advantage against women on average.
Yes.
Because we are more muscular, we're built better for athletics. It's just genetically the truth. If there's a trans person, now I have no problem being respectful of trans people, referring to them as women, but when it comes to their physiology, they have all the advantages that men have.
Right. Well, here's the problem, though. Because if you make that leap and say, okay, we're going to acknowledge you as this gender.
Yes.
So if you have a trans person that wants to be an athlete, like, where do you put them? Because it's not fair for them to compete against the boys.
Why not?
Because, well, because they're doing fucking, you know, female hormones and shit. And, you know, plus, you know, if you're going to say, okay, you're a girl, then you should be in the girls' sports, but they obviously have an unfair advantage there. They have an unfair disadvantage if you do it the other way. And I don't know. It's just like, I don't know where you put them. And there's not enough transgender people to
like
say, like, here's
league.
The transgender league, you know? So I don't know. It's just a really tough thing. It seems like there's no winning option there. I don't know what you do. You can't
I don't think
like it's fair to bar trans people from sports.
I you know what I mean, as it is, it might end up happening, because if they continuously just win and dominate all the events they're in, it might come to a point where people go, well, is this really fair?
According to News 8, petitions have been started by some parents and student athletes to try to change the policy that allows athletes in high school to compete for the gender-specific sport they identify with, but the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference says that in order for that to happen, state law would need to change. The station spoke to several people who were largely in favor of allowing Miller and Yearwood to compete against the girls. Here's what someone's saying. You have some people who believe men are stronger and faster. Okay, it's not some people believe. That's just a fact.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you compare the top 0.1% of men versus women, even if you get the most athletic, strongest woman, the strongest, most athletic man is going to be dominant.
If you take the fastest woman in the world and the fastest man in the world and they do a 100-meter dash, the fastest man in the world is going to win, barring any injuries or tripping or anything.
Right.
He's faster.
So that's not really
stronger.
So that's not really a belief. That is a fact.
That's an absolute.
So I mean, like, this person's already starting from an intellectually dishonest position. So I'm not going to read anymore. I just think it's a really difficult one. I don't know what the solution is, if there even is one.
Yeah,
but
it's a really thorny issue because, like you said, you know, you want to acknowledge people's, you know, what I mean. If they believe that that's their gender, I mean, you want to acknowledge that and respect that. But at the same time, when it comes to, you know, athletics, it's not clear cut because, like you said, you know, it's like, if someone's biologically born male but then transitions to become a female, does that give them a distinct advantage? I mean, it obviously does.
Well, you know what's really fucked up, too, is that it's like whenever a male transitions to female, they want to compete with the girls. But whenever a girl transitions to a guy, they still want to compete with the girls. Because, you know, they're not actually strong enough and fast enough because they
understand the biological fact right. that they wouldn't be able to compete.
It's just kind of unfair to biological girls who want to be involved in sports that they have to compete against girls, you know, biological girls taking male hormones and biological men taking female hormones. It's like, it's not really a fair playing field for girls at that point.
For girl athletes anymore.
You know, for, you know, biological girls.
Yeah, you're right. It's a thorny subject because, you know, I would say, like, just make a trans league. But, yeah, there's such a small proportion of society.
Like 0.33%.
Never get to compete against anybody. You know?
I don't know what you do.
And if you just have everyone compete, we know it's by and large, it's going to be men that win whatever event we're talking about.
I mean,
about.
Then men will just dominate everything.
So, I mean, maybe it's just time to rethink sports in general.
Like what? What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe make sports less about physical prowess and more about mental prowess. Even the playing field.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe we should start valuing chess and esports and shit, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you could have an intergender chess league for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's thorny. It's thorny as fuck. Russian workers are undergoing training to learn how to smile ahead of the World Cup.
looks like old Putin doesn't need any training. go back to that smile, TJ. Look at that.
Paul likes it. workers in Russia are being taught how to smile in a bid to be more welcoming to tourists.
Listen, dogs, this is how you look happy. You pull your lips back from your teeth like this. Yeah. You smile. You will look happy on the world stage. You will not look dour and sad like you look now. Pull your teeth back, comrades. Show the world you're happy. Yes.
What the fuck?
I mean, workers in Russia, though. I mean, I think we know the penalty for not cooperating.
Yeah, the gulag.
All right, workers in Russia are being taught how to smile in a bid to be more welcoming to tourists during the 2018 FIFA World Cup, which kicks off Thursday. Russians do not smile as much as other Europeans, according to the BBC. An article in The Atlantic attempts to explain why, when it loosely translates a Russian proverb, laughing for no reason is a sign of stupidity.
Uh-oh. I'm definitely not going to Russia.
However, there's now a reason to smile. 1.5 million reasons, to be precise, as Russian news agency TASS claims 1.5 million foreign tourists are expected in Russia during the World Cup. To prepare for all the tourists, workers in key companies like FIFA, Russian Railways, and Moscow Metro are all undergoing unique training. The BBC says the world governing body for football and the two Russian transport firms are teaching staff how to... You know what? If you go to Russia, if I go to Russia, I want Russians to be Russians, dude. I don't want them fucking smiling at me and shit.
It's going to look way more fucking intimidating and off-putting to have right. a bunch of people with fake smiles walking around.
Let them be the stern-faced, self-serious fucks that they are.
Like, what do they think? We're not used to people with shit jobs and transportation having scowls on their face.
Yeah, you know.
You know what I mean?
You don't have to...
That gentleman is scowling.
Russia. Don't
he
worry
should
about
be fired from the subway line immediately.
Look, if you're going to smile, it should be a natural smile. I don't even like the fact that American workers are told, like, smile. Like, what's the fucking smile about? You're giving me a cheeseburger. It's not a fucking momentous or joyous occasion.
That's one thing we went to Europe that I really just loved. It was like, no one gave a shit. It's just like, here's your shit. Bye. I don't give a fuck about you. You don't give a fuck about me. Which is here, it's like, have a nice day. No, we don't care about each other.
Putin. Look at that smile.
That's a real smile, though.
What a smile.
But he's got a lot to smile about. He's one of the world's richest people.
What a grin.
Elephant poacher shot dead by rangers at wildlife reserve in Kenya.
No.
Good. I hope they pulled all their teeth out and made jewelry out of it.
Yeah, this is something that I'm just like, good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, not going to have any sympathy for me.
May they rot in hell. Three poachers have been killed and two others injured following a gun battle with rangers at a Kenyan wildlife reserve. Wildlife troopers had been on routine patrol at Mount Elgon National Park, which straddles the border of Kenya and Uganda, when they encountered a gang of five men last Thursday. The rangers from the Kenya Wildlife Services exchanged fire with the poachers, who were reportedly armed with AK-47 rifles. Troopers killed three of the group during the shootout, while two more suspects were able to escape with minor injuries. Equipment associated with poaching was later found at the scene, the Wildlife Service said. KWS officers were on patrol inside the park when they spotted the poachers, Trans Nzoy, whatever. What? Nzoy, whatever. Fuck. County Police Commander Samson Olkine told Nairobi-based newspaper The Standard. A fierce shootout ensued, and three of the poachers were gunned down while two others escaped. AK-47 rifles were recovered. Poaching has declined sharply in Kenya since reaching a peak in 2012, but issues around the illegal hunting activity still persist. Last year, 69 elephants were killed for their ivory in the country, while a further 9 rhinos were also slaughtered. So, yeah, good. Fuck these fuck poachers.
Yeah. These animals are not going to be on this planet for very much longer. And
especially not at this
we
rate.
We are horribly, horribly, horribly fucking irresponsible if we allow them to be killed for something as stupid as taking their teeth.
Yeah, so fuck these people. Let them be. I mean, yeah, you want to fucking poach, you're going to be the fucking, you're going to get gunned down. Good.
There's plenty of us on this planet. There's plenty of scum fucks with AK-47s on
this planet.
The three
fucks that are dead, you know what? We ain't going to miss them.
And the two that only got injured, I hope that they fucking get gangrene in their wounds and die.
Hope they're gored by a rhino.
Yeah.
I always love stories like that when you hear about these poachers getting like trampled to death.
I basically just put this story in because I figured we could use something, something positive.
It's like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Refreshing.
Dead refreshing. Poaches.
That's satisfying.
Feminist bookstore closes from lack of sales. Blames white men.
But of course. Because somehow they made people not go in there and buy books.
Yeah, you know.
As the white men often do.
What a bunch of fucking morons.
An iconic feminist bookstore in community space.
Apparently wasn't iconic enough.
Portland, Oregon. Yeah, of course. What could be the cause of the retailer's failure? People don't want to buy their books. Hmm. Yes. Perhaps the rise of e-commerce.
Oh, that makes
sense. Probably maybe a little, but mostly the first one. Not in the slightest, obviously. The problem lies in white power, patriarchy, and white cisgendered feminism. That's the takeaway from a statement posted last Monday announcing the closing of, in other words, a volunteer-run bookstore made famous by the television show Portlandia.
They had volunteers running the store, and they still couldn't fucking survive, dude. That's
the
pathetic.
Current volunteers on board members stepped into and took over the space that was founded on white cis feminism, read white supremacy. It's really difficult, actually impossible, for us to disentangle from that foundational ideology, the statement said. What? Patriarchy, white supremacy, capitalism cannot be reformed and ever serve the people. Abolition is the goal. This isn't sustainable, especially emotionally, for the people who come here and work to provide this space as a resource to Portland feminist communities. Wow. So good. I mean, basically, my takeaway from this is good fucking riddance.
Yeah, this sounds like a whiny place
bye
to
bye.
Be.
Bye-bye. Wonder why they failed. Maybe some of them can actually take responsibility for not running their bookstore properly, and you know what? Maybe not getting enough sales.
Look, Scotty, they couldn't disentangle cisgender.
Oh, that's what it was.
Or maybe if they stocked their shelves with books people wanted to read, maybe that would have helped.
No one wants to come to our feminist bookstore.
Well, guess what? Your feelings don't fucking trump economic realities, you fucking retards.
So
bye-bye.
Good riddance. Good fucking riddance. Thank you, Conservative Tribune. This is something I actually just found as we were talking earlier. George Lucas's Star Wars sequel trilogy would have been about the Wills.
The Wills?
The Wills.
Who are the Wills?
A diehard Star Wars fan may know George Lucas's earliest draft for the original movie script involved a higher order of beings known as the Wills. Lucas initially had an idea that the Star Wars saga would be told through the perspective of the Journal of the Wills, a race tasked with writing the history of the galaxy. And according to a newly released book, Lucas had further plans for the Wills. In fact, they would have been a focal point for his Star Wars sequel trilogy. Via CBR, Lucas's comments were taken from an Insight Editions companion to the AMC series James Cameron's Story of Science Fiction. The next three Star Wars films were going to get into a microbiotic world, but there's this world of creatures that operate differently than we do. I call them the Wills, and the Wills are the ones who actually control the universe. They feed off the Force.
Thank God George Lucas was fucking sold this property. Thank fucking God.
I mean, it sounds like he got a little bit of that with the midichlorians. He got some of the microbiology.
Dude, he's doing one of the worst things with a beloved franchise, and it's like he wants to over-explain
everything.
If I
held on
everything.
To the company, I could have done it. And then it would have been done. Of course, a lot of fans would have hated it, just like they did the Phantom Menace and everything, but at least the whole story from beginning to end would be told.
The Wills, dude.
So, as bad as Star Wars is under Disney, I gotta say, this sounds fucking horrible.
I don't know, dude. I'm kind of sad we never got to see what he did with it.
Never got to see the Wills.
The Wills.
I mean, Lucas could have been
companion to the
He could have made this shit anytime. Now it's just sour grapes. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have to sell it, bitch. Whatever. But I'm glad this didn't happen. This sounds fucking awful to me.
The Wills.
The Wills. What about their and their enemy, the Wheatons? Films will have sorry, firms. Not firms. Fil, f, not films. Firms.
Films.
Film. Film.
Whoa.
A random.
Did you just
coffee?
Swallow a beetle?
Yeah.
Damn.
A cicada. Firms will have to justify pay gap between bosses and staff.
In the UK?
Yes.
Wow, what an interesting
move. The move follows concerns.
I thought you'd like this, Paul.
That yeah. Some chief executives have been receiving salaries that are out of step with company performance. No.
Large firms have to publish and justify their chief executive salaries and reveal the gap to their average workers under proposed new laws. UK listed companies with over 250 staff will have to annually disclose and explain the so-called pay ratios in their organization. The move comes after years of shareholder and public outrage over bumper chief executive pay at firms such as Persimmon, WPP, BP, Shell, Lloyd's, a bunch of other ones.
AstraZeneca, Playtech, and yeah. William Hill.
Last week, house builder Persimmon admitted a raft of failures that led to an embarrassing shareholder rebellion over the MPs slammed an egregious pay deal for top bosses worth over 100 million pounds.
Jesus.
The company's chairman and the head of the remuneration committee resigned after anger over their bonuses. So basically, all these CEOs of
just companies, like they do here, they're getting paid the big bucks.
That even though they're running failing companies, get these huge salaries.
Our stock
in the
options,
UK,
yeah.
They're now going to have to actually justify why they deserve that money. Now, I don't know how effective this will be, but it's at least an interesting first step towards not letting them fuck everybody over. I think it's cool.
You know what I've been thinking? Why's that asshole get to sit on his fucking ass and make 100 million fucking pounds and I make 22.50 a day? 22.50 stinking useless fucking pounds a day.
You wanna why that is?
Why is that?
Because they're ahead of the fucking company. They can pay themselves whatever the fuck they want, and you don't matter.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Well I guess it's a proposed laws.
Hey, guess right, what, guys? So we'll the rich people that control that country, they ain't going to let that shit happen. Yeah, or it's going to be some watered
right.
down
Well, it sounds
version.
Like the shareholders also want it. So that's why it might actually
Well, the happen. Shareholders want it, of course, because paying themselves huge bonuses is not helping the stock.
Yeah. So that might actually happen. For
especially
reason.
For a company that's in financial distress.
You buy more from touchscreen kiosks than a person, so expect more kiosks at McDonald's.
I'm fine with that.
Want fries with that? Don't say yes. Just touch the screen. McDonald's plans to add touchscreen ordering kiosks to thousands of stores nationwide to supplement in-store employees, transforming America's largest fast food chain.
You know
chain.
What? I totally am fine with this happening.
To supplement. in store employees.
Oh, they're going to be gone in a few years, dude.
Is that the nice word for replace?
Yes. Oh, dude, they replace so many. Like, dude, you know what's crazy? If you look at a movie of like a fast food restaurant in the 70s, it's like filled to the brim with employees. There's like 50 people working there. Now it's like you can run a lot of these places with two or three people.
What we are finding is when people dwell more, which they do at the kiosks, they tend to select more, McDonald's CEO Steve Easterbrook told CNBC Monday. So there is a little bit of an average check boost that comes with it. McDonald's will add kiosks to 1,000 stores every quarter, roughly 10% per day. Sorry, roughly 10 stores per day. Over the next 2 years, Easterbrook told the network, and the U.S. is late to the game. Kiosks are already fully installed at stores in English-speaking markets such as the United Kingdom and Canada. France was the first country to introduce the self-serving machines. So basically, people order more at the kiosks. Obviously, they don't feel as pressured to get their order out quickly because they just feel like, oh, I can just peruse and do whatever I want. So they're ordering more shit. So
this is a short-term negative and a long-term positive for workers. In the short term, it's going to mean that there are less low-level, low-paying jobs, which unfortunately a lot of families depend on in this country. But in the long term, it's going to lead to a crisis of labor that's going to force us to kind of like rethink the way that we do things. And come up with some maybe more fulfilling, less shit work for people on the lower end of the ability scale.
Automation.
Training scale.
Is totally replacing these low-level jobs. And it's because, like, look, you can have one employee. It's like a self-checkout. If you go to a lot of grocery stores, like, you can have six of those open and one person watching them. Or you can have six people staffing six registers, which we know most stores never do unless it's like Christmas or there's a holiday rush or something. It's not necessary. And these kiosks, they actually installed this in the McDonald's that were, like where we live. And like I went in there and I'm like, okay. And actually it was a lot better of an experience than I was used to because it wasn't like you said, you're not rushed. You can customize your order a lot more. So like you said, yeah, there's probably some short-term negative impacts. But the long-term, I think, is better for this. And these, I mean, honestly, look, if the technology is there, it's going to replace those jobs. It's going to happen. It's inevitable.
I mean, automation has always been a friend and an enemy to workers because there's a lot of jobs that are done now by automated machines that are horribly dangerous, that caused maimings and, you know, horrible things for workers. Machines can work in environments with horrible air, you know, whereas normally there would have been humans down there breathing in all that coal dust and shit. Like, automation is a good thing. And these jobs that are getting replaced, these McDonald's jobs, they're shit fuck jobs. They're terrible jobs. They're horrible psychologically. They're physically way more demanding than people give them credit for.
Oh, yeah, they are.
People look at people that work at a fucking McDonald's and they say, oh, yeah, they're just standing around flipping burgers all day. Dude, those people work their fucking asses off.
They're on their feet all fucking day.
For very little pay. Thankless fuck jobs. It's good to see them replaced, but eventually, as these low-level jobs go automated, we're going to have to come to terms with, like, a universal basic income is going to have to happen. Because this is how we're sustaining the low end of the economic bracket now with jobs like this.
U.S. kindergartens now teaching nursery rhymes to prep kids for school shooters. Here you see the nursery rhymes. Lockdown, lockdown, lock the door. Shut the lights off, say no more. Go behind the desk and hide. Wait until it's safe inside. Lockdown, lockdown. It's all done. Now it's time to have some fun.
Bodies, bodies everywhere.
Death, destruction, mayhem. Do not despair.
This is one of the more macabre stories I've heard in a long time.
A U.S. mother has shared a confronting image. That doesn't make any sense as an adjective there. From her daughter's perspective, prospective kindergarten classroom, showing the instructions for a lockdown drill to the tune of, oh, I guess it's supposed to be to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. I didn't even realize. Lockdown, lockdown, lock the door.
Shut the lights off, say no more. Go behind the desk and hide. Wait until it's safe inside. Lockdown, lockdown, it's all done. Now it's time to have some fun.
That's creepy as
fuck.
You know what, though?
We need to do something about this, guys.
I remember them doing drills like this even when I was in school.
So, I don't remember shooter drills.
Yeah, actually, we went through one when I was in school.
Really?
Killer,
I never did.
Killer stalking through the school, shooting the heads of silly little fools. What the fuck, man?
All right, I just thought it was a nice little macabre
story. I mean, it's
story.
Just a... I mean, yeah, you have to factor it in this country. It is now a possibility. So, I mean...
I mean, yeah, but it's just... I mean, like, I'm not saying that it's not... It's the fact that there's a necessity.
I mean, it's
this.
Sad.
It's creepy.
I mean, it really, really, I wouldn't say it's creepy. I would say it's just a sad. That's the state of our country. At this
I think
point.
It's creepy. I'm gonna fucking
it's
slap
creepy.
That adjective
yeah,
on
it's
myself.
Creepy and yeah, really well, indicative just way, of how bad well, things have gotten here.
Teaching kindergartners. I mean, creepy. Whatever. That's a subjective term. I mean, I don't really put much value in creepy. I think it's just more sad the state of that we have to worry about school shooters chronically.
Yeah, well, that's what I find creepy about it.
Lockdown's okay. Over, open the door. Don't slip on the brains on the floor. Lockdown, lockdown. Oh, my fucking God.
Florida didn't conduct background checks for a year because an employee couldn't log in.
What do you I mean? Couldn't log in.
What's the password
The
again?
Florida government did not conduct background checks on thousands of applicants for concealed weapons for a year because the state employee was unable to log into the system.
Pathetic, dude.
I couldn't get into it.
Look, I put the username and password in. It didn't work.
Guy looked all right to me.
According to a February 2016 investigative report from Florida's Inspector General, first reported by the Tampa Bay Times, a state division of licensing employee identified as Lisa Wild was unable to log into the system to actually complete these background checks. She never mitigated the issue. When determining eligibility for purchasing a firearm, applicants must undergo a background check known as the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, which is administered by the FBI. In Florida, these background checks are used as indicators of eligibility for concealed weapons licenses. In March 2017, over a year later, an employee with the Bureau of Licensing realized the NICS records were not being reviewed. The report was issued in June 2017. According to the Tampa Bay Times, applications for concealed weapons permits at Florida at this time, which coincided with the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando that left 49 dead, were at a record high. The report concluded Wild as negligent in failing to send over these background checks. The Division of Licensing is housed under the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Service. Adam Putnam, the commissioner of that department, is now running for governor.
Huh. Great.
An incompetent fuck that should not even be close to being elected. He was overseeing that. I mean, I can understand that the system was down for a few days.
I think he was underseeing it.
Yeah. I mean, you can understand something like this was down for a day or two, but let's be honest. In Florida, they just didn't want it to function.
Yeah.
That's all this really is oh, well, it didn't work. Sorry, dude, we couldn't log in.
Even when we do have some basic cursory, like, rules in place for how people get
respected.
Guns, they're not respected or followed. So... just a fucking
I'm not gonna read between the lines. That's all that really is. Oh, they didn't know about it. They knew about this. They didn't give a shit.
Yep.
Children scattered on the floor. Now they do not breathe no more. All right. Jacksonville police, man takes cash register from Walmart, tries to carjack two people at knife point.
Wow.
So you give him the car.
This guy has a magical adventure. A man was arrested Friday after he took a cash register drawer from a Walmart at River City Marketplace and then tried to carjack two people at knife point. Christopher Raymond Hill, 36, was arrested on charges of strong-arm robbery, carjacking with a firearm or deadly weapon, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and trespassing, according to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office online inmate information search. Investigators found the incident began when Hill went into the Walmart liquor store and asked if he could have change for a 20. He was told by the cashier he would have to buy something, and then he bought a pack of cigarettes. The cashier, Latoya King, spoke with Action News Jax about the incident. She said she didn't think twice of Hill, who was dressed in bright orange, until she opened the cash register. He's dressed in bright orange while he's doing this. Very inconspicuous.
Yeah.
Of course.
Under the radar.
When I did that, he leapt over the counter, grabbed my hand, and was like, I was like, sir, what are you doing? Once the register was open, Hill grabbed the register and ran out of the store, according to JSO.
Couldn't just take
report.
The money.
You wanted that change, too.
A witness saw Hill get into a silver Ford SUV, but it did not appear to start.
So he got out and ran. So he's
what
wearing
hit. His car run so out listen, of gas.
He's wearing
oh shit.
He's dressed in orange, carrying an entire cash register drawer. His car won't start. Police said he approached a man who was sitting in the parking lot near Supercuts. Hill asked the man for a ride, and the man refused. I turned the ignition off, grabbed my keys, opened the door, and boom, there he was. According to the report, Hill put the cash register in Reardon's truck bed and pulled a knife, cutting Reardon in the hands and leg. So he fucking carjacks this guy, or he tries to. Hill ran to the car of a woman who was in line at the Starbucks drive-thru. She told police she rolled down her passenger side window to see what he wanted, and she said Hill opened the door and got into the car. The woman said Hill told her to drive because someone was chasing him. She told police she tried to push him out of the vehicle and he would not get out. According to the report, she was in fear for her life. Well, no shit. So she got out of the car to get her Ruger pistol out of her trunk. Hill got out of the car and came toward her. She said she pointed her pistol at him and he ran away. When police arrived, they found Hill barricaded himself inside the bathroom at Supercuts, but he came out when officers ordered him to. According to the report, Hill told police, "The reason I was running and did this was because somebody was after me." Yeah, the police, because you stole a fucking cash register yeah, from a
meth.
Walmart.
Oh, yeah,
his
meth.
Name is Meth.
Yeah, I would say this sounds like a meth problem if I ever heard one, dude.
My name is Meth.
My yeah. name is Meth.
So I just thought you guys go might like this guy's magical fucking adventure because wow. it sounds pretty crazy.
I hope he doesn't get caught. You know, I hope they believe him and find whoever's chasing him and forcing him to
really hope this
steal old TJ fucking Duck? Drawers.
I really hope this lesson will register with this guy, dude.
Register.
Oh, shit.
I get it.
God damn it, Scotty.
Another environmental story. U.S. and Japan declined to sign G7 agreement to reduce plastic
waste
in oceans.
Yeah, we don't fucking need... Why are we even worried about plastic in oceans?
The United States and Japan declined to sign onto an agreement between the other G7 countries to reduce the amount of plastic waste in the world's ocean and cut down the usage of single-use plastics such as straws, bottles, and cups. Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Britain, and the European Union endorsed a G7 ocean plastics charter. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced at the leaders' summit in the waterfront town of La Malbaie. I don't know. The pact calls for signatory countries to reduce the use of plastics and, where alternatives are not available, find ways to include more recycled materials in the plastics they do use. This is good news, not only for the environment, but for businesses, blah, blah, blah. Except that the U.S. and Japan didn't want to do it.
Nah.
Dude,
nah.
Just look up trash in the oceans.
Oh, it's terrible.
And tell me this isn't a fucking problem, dude.
Dude, there's a whole area in the fucking Pacific Ocean off the coast, in between the United States and Japan, called the Gyre.
Yep.
And it's like a fucking island the size of Texas that's basically just plastic.
Yeah, but oh, we shouldn't do anything to reduce that.
Nah, it's fine.
Don't worry about it, fellas.
Here you go.
Someone's going to figure it out.
There
Garbage
you go.
Island! Yeah, it's beautiful. Look at that.
Here's an aerial view of some of it.
No, I mean, some of this has been caused by natural disasters.
Well, you know what
sure.
the fucked up thing about this thing is, though? The worst of it is not even visible.
Yeah,
what
most of it's
seeing
underneath.
Floating on the surface here is a small percentage of the actual plastic that you're
as you would
that's
say,
in the area.
The tip of the iceberg.
Dolphin
when you're
looks
approaching
happy,
the
dude.
Gyre, people, like scientists will skim the water, which looks like totally normal ocean, not filled with garbage, and they'll pull handfuls of shit like this out of it, just under the surface. So it's like, this is like a huge problem. And the fact that we're not even willing to make a cursory signing statement that
fuck
we'll try
that.
And reduce our plastic emissions.
The major fucking powers of this world and the corporations of this world are making an effort to try to clean up this fucking natural fucking floating disaster for the environment and ecosystem.
There's
there.
No way for it. Like, at this point, it's so huge, there's no way to clean it up. The fucking engineering task would be so... It's too big. So the only thing we can do is reduce how quickly we're growing it. And we're not even willing to do that.
We're going to have to do a lot more than that.
Good news, though, for jellyfish, because they actually like to eat the plastic. So,
well, hey.
Good for them. Bad for everything else, but good for the jellyfish. Avengers Infinity War has passed the $2 billion mark at the box office.
Wow.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
Still in theaters, too.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. Let me check how much it made last week. I guess I could just go to the main page here.
It's actually number two, though, and the number one is
it's still
Black Panther. Yeah. For superhero movies. I mean, not overall. I mean, obviously with you mean
domestically?
Domestically, yes.
Ocean's 8 was number one. Let's see, where is Avengers Infinity War is still number five at the box office, you know.
What is it, like a month and a half after release?
Something like that. It's been a while. I think it's this, how many weeks has it been out? Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. It was released on April 27th.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and we're in June now, so yep. Yeah. I mean, it's number five at the box office still.
A month and a half.
So yeah, I mean, it's fucking destroying the competition. Here's an interesting thing that someone on Reddit pointed out. Zoe Saldana is the only actor to receive is they star billing on $2 billion grossing films.
Oh, Avatar.
Avatar in 2009, oh, and Avengers Infinity War. And in both of them, she plays an alien with weird colored skin. So apparently that's the recipe for success in your movie.
Yeah.
Get Zoe Saldana, paint her up a crazy color, bam, $2 billion falls in your fucking lap. It's kind of interesting. Church members angry over placement of giant Marilyn Monroe statue in Connecticut.
Members with her skirt blowing up.
Yes.
Busy bodies with nothing that have nothing better to do with
members of a church in Stamford, Connecticut are upset with the placement of a massive statue of a scantily clad Marilyn Monroe.
Oh no.
Scantily clad? She's in an evening dress.
Well, the 26-foot statue of the blonde bombshell went up this week in a local park as part of the Downtown District's Art in Public Space Places series. Artist Seward Johnson's statue depicts Monroe's iconic dress scene above a subway grate from the movie The 7-Year Itch. Monroe's statue, however, was placed in front of the First Congregational Church.
Oh, no.
With Monroe's underwear-clad buttocks directly facing the church.
Sweet.
Here it is.
Look at it. That's right, church members.
There you go, church folk. Every time you walk out of church, you got to see.
I'm so offended.
Dude, she's in granny panties. Yeah, who fucking cares?
It's such a fucking non-issue. These church faggots are so whiny.
There's another big statue of Marilyn Monroe in Palm Springs. In downtown Palm Springs, there's a big fucking statue of her in the same pose. Not as risque as this one.
City officials have reportedly received several phone calls complaining about the statue, especially as children
are
climbing up the model's legs.
Think of the children! When people have no good argument, they always just go back to, but what about kids? What's going to happen to kids? It's like, the statue is not going to harm children. And if you know what, if their parents should be supervising if they're climbing on the fucking legs. If they fall, it's their own goddamn fault and their parents' fault.
Oh, my God.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Please.
Oh, my God. Give me a fucking break. All right, last story of the day. You guys want to guess what it is?
Trump.
Paul guesses Trump. What do you guess, Scotty?
Disgusting spider burger. Part two.
Nope. See Dumbo soar in new trailer for Tim Burton's live action Disney film.
No.
Dumbo is back and flying high in the first trailer for Tim Burton's live action reimagining of Disney's 1941 animated movie in a tale of family, loss, a struggling circus, and an oddly unique baby elephant that brings hope and inspiration to those he meets.
Can Tim Burton just be asked to retire now? Can they just be like, Tim, You had a good run.
You made
some interesting films. Time to move on. Yeah.
Time to put you out to pasture, Ted.
You know, fucking old. Let's old yeller him. You know
what
I mean?
The film stars Colin Farrell as Holt Ferrier, a former horse showman who returns from the war, a widower, to his two children. Remember that from the original Dumbo? And a circus struggling to survive. The circus's owner, Max Medici, played by Danny DeVito, buys a pregnant elephant, and thus Dumbo enters their lives and awakens everybody to their better selves.
Oh, man, the saccharine sweet, disgusting, fucking feel-good porn of the goddamn masses. Fuck this movie, fuck Tim Burton, fuck all this shit, dude.
Another classic film that didn't need a remake.
You know what? Why don't we just fucking take Dumbo and just shit all over it and make it a stupid fucking Tim Burton film?
Why doesn't Tim Burton get some ideas of his own, like Edward Scissorhands?
He's a fucking idiot, dude.
Remember when you used to have your own ideas, Tim?
Remember when Tim Burton created his own ideas and didn't just shit on classic films for a living? Remember those days?
I remember.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Corpse Bride, yeah, all these, they're way better. Your movies that come out of your own brain are way better than your reimagining of classic films.
Yeah, obviously this is Disney in the trailer, but let's just take a quick visual look at what's going on here. I'm not going to full screen it because that's just, you know.
Asking for trouble.
In 2019.
Right, so it's a horrifying CGI elephant.
Yes.
Another beloved classic falls to the fucking remake fucking Sword of Damocles.
This looks
hanging
awful.
Over fucking Disney. Oh, no. No.
No.
Hell no. Dumbo's got to go. Hell no. Dumbo's got to go.
I don't even know what to do at this point.
Dude,
oh,
I'm
man.
We should protest, dude. We should go to fucking Hollywood and just protest the Dumbo movie.
Hollywood in general. Hey, hey, ho, ho. These people with no imagination have got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. What do we want? Good movies. When do we want them? Now. Like, we need a movement in this country, man. If they're going to treat us like dog shit, give us these shitty jobs, you know, all this depressing bullshit in the news.
People
the least
themselves.
They could do is give us quality fucking entertainment. They got to hold up their end of the bargain, man. We need good movies. If you want us to be miserable fucks 90% of the time, the 10% of the time we get to sit down and eat some popcorn, make it good.
I feel like that's a bad note to end on.
I want to end on a happy note.
A happy note?
Yeah.
What's that?
This is it. Here we go. This is. I think you'll enjoy
a
this.
A happy note. Where the fuck is his... Dude, where the fuck is his chin?
You're right. This is a happy note. Oh, my God. Did he have to have that chin strap specially made for that weak fucking chin? Holy fuck, dude. Look at the big goiter bulge, dude, coming out underneath it.
You think you're a blonde-faced Paul? This is a true blonde
face,
fuck. Dude.
This is like
it's just a mask, dude. It's almost like he's a fucking tumor where his chin should be.
Holy fuck.
I had a chin.
The proud, the brave, the white nationalist, dude.
I had a chin and then the tumor came.
I take back all that shit I've said about the ethno-state being a retarded idea, dude.
Send him, dude.
We need this guy and people Wyoming, like him in charge.
Let's give him Wyoming, guys. Come on. Send these guys there.
What a tub of shit. What a giant tub of shit.
I don't know, motherfuckers.
I don't know if either of you guys have seen enough Doctor Who to get this, but he kind of looks like these fucking aliens from Doctor Who, too.
Yeah, he looks like a thumb.
Oh my goodness.
Holy fuck, man. That was
great. So that's a good note to end on.
I agree.
Love this guy. So great.
Become a patron. Join the feast. Click the links down below. Come see us in fucking LA on the
21st. Come to
soul of flesh. You must have watched Flesh of Blood. You must subscribe. You must do it now.
Yeah.
Tell your friends this guy.
Share this with your friends that are degenerates like you that you think might enjoy it.
Blow your load all over the
world.